in the studio with me this morning. I think it's her first time here. Tara Solem, the district manager for Lake County Soil and Water Conservation District. Thank you, Tara, for being with us this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Finally, we get to meet.
Yes. Yes. And you have been a fixture at Lake County Soil and Water for several years now, but mostly through COVID. So maybe that's my excuse for not, well, I don't know you any better, but so excited you're here. And, you know, we've had Derek Passy and others from Soil and Water with us at the station before, but you are the district manager. So I like to think have the bigger picture of what's going on. And, you know, we've always been, I think, just really lucky. Where I grew up in Pennsylvania, there was no soil and water, no entity that was focused on healthy soil and water in our district. So I just think we're really lucky to have this and lucky to have you here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I started 3 years ago at the brink of COVID, so that's one excuse that we haven't met. And then thank God I had time to get my act together because there's a lot of stuff that we do, and to give like a clear picture of what we do at our office takes
yes.
a while to figure it all out.
But. Yeah. So now you have had a chance to get your feet wet. So maybe first give us a little overview of why you exist and then what are some of the things going on right now?
Okay. Soil and Waters were established in the 30s during the Dust Bowl. And then they decided and realized that soil health is so important. And then in Minnesota, Soil and Waters started, I think, in the 60s.
Okay.
And so they've been around for a while. But yeah, due to the legacy funding and the Clean Water Fund, they've been able to establish a lot more funding to our offices. And then we're also grant funded. So we are constantly writing grants to focus on specifics. But our office has 6 staff, and that's including myself. So we focus on forestry and forest health. You know, spruce budworm is a big problem in our area.
Yeah.
We have someone that we deal with erosion, water yep. quality, terrestrial invasive species. So if you have buckthorn or barberry or one of those, you know, we can have resources for that as well. Aquatic invasive species, just anything related to natural resource, forest health, ecosystem health, water quality, we do it all. So we're a free resource for the community. Each county within Minnesota, there's 80 some, has a soil and water. We're lucky enough to be on the Lake Superior Basin, so there's some extra funding that we can tap into
okay.
for specific projects. So it's just a really great place
yeah.
to work and to serve.
Yeah. Yep. You say it very well. And so I know one thing is that any homeowner can come to you with virtually any question they have about how to take care of their land and water in a good way. And but you also do initiatives, like you get out there in the community and you make sure everyone is aware of certain things. Do you have any ongoing or current focuses that you're highlighting for community right now? I know it may be the time of year, you know, the beginning of winter is, I mean, I have some interest in knowing about the salt. I know that that has been an issue in the past of how much salt gets poured on the roads. Is that something you guys deal with or not?
Yeah, we have hosted some salt workshops or at least shared the word on it. The MPCA, Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, has continuous workshops on salt, and that's more geared, I think, for, you know, agencies or buildings that have salt. But yeah, salt in general, if you want information, we can share that. There's some good resources out there. But long story short, salt doesn't go away. Once you have salt in a water system, it's toxic. So you just want to make sure that when you're shoveling your sidewalk, you get that snow off right away so that it doesn't turn to ice. And then really be cognizant about the amount of salt and try to stay away from it. And then also, if you have extra salt on your sidewalk, just sweep it up and use it for the next time. We don't want any standing salt around because that'll get into water systems. It's toxic. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I like to think, isn't it possible just to use sand, or is that really not do the trick? I mean, I have tended to think, why don't we just go to sand?
Yeah, no, I agree. That's a great thing. Good.
And I think the city, when they do it, it's kind of a mixture of salt and sand.
I think everybody's being more aware, and yeah, they're doing the sand first and then salt only when necessary. And so it's more of an awareness.
Yeah.
And talking to Lake County, it sounds like they very rarely use salt, which is great to know. So
oh, good.
I think people are kind of steering away from that.
Good. That is really good to hear. And you may have had a role in that. Who knows?
Yeah. So other initiatives, we had a November conservation workshop series that we did record. We had a wetlands workshop that was an hour long, forestry, focused on forest health and some resources for landowners. And then we had a stormwater one, too. And those are all on our website, lakecountyswcd.org. And then also we've had a lot of interest from the community for rain barrels and compost bins. And I thought, oh, that's easy. But then realizing, you know, the shipments and those are big and we have to have, you know, make it worthwhile. So we had to wait until we had enough people that were interested. And then it's a big semi truck that's going to come through with them. And we had kind of a minimum. We're not making any money, but it was just more getting it on board. So right now there's a live compost bin sale. It's swcd.rainbarrelsale.com. The rain barrels are $75. Compost bins are $70. There's some other little kitchen pails and whatnot. And so those are a good way to reduce, you know, waste and reuse things. And then that goes until, I think, April. And then those rain barrels and compost bins will come in May, so you don't have to store them over the winter. But a great Christmas gift idea.
Okay. So you can buy rain barrels and compost bins right now.
Yeah. So we're hosting a website to do that.
And how have you seen interest growing in these things over the last few years?
Yeah. I don't think people realized, you know, what we do and that we're a resource. We're, like I said, we're a free resource. We'll do site visits, anything. I get a lot of random, you know, things that I've never heard about, but we find an answer, which is great. You know, like, oh, my, you know, well water has this, and what do you think, and what do I need to test for? So just a lot of variety. You know, the sky's the limit. If you have a question, feel free to give us a call.
Wonderful. Now, I have to say, I notice, you know, pretty much whenever we have a big northeast gale or a huge rainwater, the water is always brown. And I keep thinking, I'm talking about the lake water.
Sure.
You know, every storm isn't a breaking storm and breaking into new, but it just seems like the erosion is relentless. And I do not remember if that has always been the case. But I mean, I know, too, if you walk along the peninsula in Two Harbors, you know, the trail has to keep moving in because the cliffs keep breaking down. And I think the rate of erosion seems to be very high these days, presumably because of the big storms. But is that accurate or is that just sort of my perception that
No, that is accurate. Bigger storms, and also we had some high water on Lake Superior. It is going down. And then also, you know, we have clay soils in this area, and so that really discolors and it suspends. So just a combination of, you are correct that it's more prevalent. We did have a coastal erosion workshop for landowners who live along the lake to consider green planting, making sure that you have that buffer along Lake Superior to have those roots that keep that soil intact. And so that's on our website too. And we had a booklet that we created. So long story short, yeah, that is a concern. And it's something that we do put a lot of focus on, and we can be a resource for that as well.
I definitely have seen some homeowners really shoring up their property. I mean, you can kind of see it from the water when we're out in our boat.
I know. A lot of riprap and a lot of rock putting in.
Yeah.
I know that's sometimes necessary, but also focusing on, let's get some vegetation on
there. Right. It seems like what you want is soil that will cling, like that is really embedded.
Right.
And that's what we can learn from you about, I'm sure.
Yeah. And so also stormwater plays into that. There's water from the lake, but also heavy rain events, you know, washing things in. So that's why we want to have impervious surfaces. We want to have water infiltrate. And so we want to encourage native plants that have deep roots. And so it's all connected.
Yeah.
You know, just keeping that water on the land. And then, yeah.
That's now, I'm curious, the like if people or commercial institutes buy lakeshore property now, like are they obligated to do some kind of care for that, or is essentially what you do is hope that people will be motivated to do it?
For the most part, we hope that people are motivated to it.
Okay.
But Lake County does have setbacks, and so people need to follow that. And then we've been recently, in the last year or two, been looped into variance requests on property where people want to rebuild, or maybe that property was grandfathered in and they need to do some work. We do work with the county. They'll do reference to us, and then they have to develop a planting plan to put native vegetation along there. So that's kind of one of those requirements. We're not regulatory, but that's kind of the one and only that we're linked in, and we require that they do some planting, and we assist, you know, them to do so.
Great. Tell us a little bit about spruce budworm. I know it, like, we try to describe to people who don't live around here what it's like in some parts of the forest where it just seems like the trees are spindly and very few needles are even left. And I know that there's been a lot of talk and people that I've seen a lot of cutting down of all the, you know, essentially the tinder. But what do you do, and what more can you tell us about this spruce budworm?
Yeah, it's just a native cycle, and they've been around, but they're holding on due to weather and a lot of factors for longer than typical. So it's just a natural cycle, and unfortunately we're seeing a lot of balsam death and spruce as well. So our office has a forester who can do a site visit and talk about what he recommends, and we can do planning documents that help, you know, segment your property and then make it realistic on what do you want to do, what are your goals. But there are some federal programs, specifically Natural Resources Conservation Service, and there's an EQIP funding process that's cost share.
Okay.
It pays about 25%, and one of those is timber stand improvement, and you can qualify for that. It takes about a year to get your application in and get the funding if you do get awarded, and that'll pay for maybe 25% to 50%. But yeah, taking those dead balsam and spruce trees down on your property in order to let things naturally revegetate and reduce that fire risk. And so that's one thing we can assist landowners.
Yeah, that seems like a relatively big deal for a lot of landowners. I know that we were talking with a couple couples at church a few weeks ago, and they were talking about, I forget the number, but it just seemed amazing to me, like 500 trees they had to take down. And are there any, I know you can't predict the future, but is the hope that this is going to recede in the next 5 years? Or like what might this look like in 5 years?
I don't know the statistics, and I wish I could say it would be gone tomorrow. I think it's just lasting longer than when it was expected. So, yeah, I don't know what that looks like. But just revegetating and planting trees on your property is also super helpful, just making sure that we have things coming back.
How does the deer population affect that? I know the deer have been...
They love, yeah.
So they are also contributing to this, presumably.
Yeah. There's good organizations like the North Shore Forest Collaborative has a cost share program for fencing. And so you want to protect those trees through specifically like the conifers, white pine are great for deer nibbling. And so there's different organizations that can help you get your trees protected. And then the Rahala Woods Foundation, the last 2 years, donated 40,000 white pine seedlings to the North Shore, which is really great.
Wow.
And I think they're going to continue this next year. And our office is one of the drop-off sites.
Okay.
So, just replanting. And we also have a tree sale that'll be going live on our website in February so that you can, you know, plant some trees on your property. So just keep those trees coming.
Wow. You have a lot going on.
We do.
And tell us where you're located. I love that you're right downtown.
Yeah. So we're just an extension of downtown on First Avenue, more towards the lighthouse and the break wall. So our address is 408 First Avenue, and we have a brick building there. Yeah, we have our own building. And then my main phone number is 834-8370. People can call, and then if they have questions, if you want to talk to a forester or, one of our six staff.
Wonderful. And as a relative newcomer to Two Harbors, you wanted to share a little bit about your impressions of course, we know we're not perfect, and we can handle imperfect critiques, but like, what do you like, and are there special challenges of living on the North Shore?
Just how lucky are we to live in such a beautiful place?
Yeah.
I grew up in like the Walker Leech Lake area. My first job was in Detroit Lakes, but I always wanted to be in this area. Both my grandparents graduated from Duluth.
Okay.
And then I have a lot of distant relatives in the area. So it's just kind of near and dear to my heart and visiting a lot with distant relatives. But it was hard to find a house when I moved here. You know, rentals are few and far between. So I rented two different locations, both of them over the 3 years wanted to sell. Luckily, the second one I was able to purchase. And so I have roots now.
Yeah, that is so good to hear. And, you know, we talk on the radio and everywhere else about the housing issues here. So it's really good to hear a success story of someone who's investing in the community and also able to be invested in and live here. So anyway, thank you so much, Tara. Is there anything I have forgot to ask you?
No, I think we're good.
All right. Yeah. Wonderful. I'm speaking with Tara Solem. She is the district manager for Lake County Soil and Water Conservation District right in downtown Two Harbors. And as she said, she and her staff are very available and do so many good things for our community. So thanks for that. And thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you.
That was Tara Solem, as I said.